Welcome to another episode of Morning Coffee with your host, Rick Alexander. I started this show to talk about all of the interesting, complex, paradoxical, and sometimes uncomfortable aspects of the human experience. If you get anything from this show, the greatest compliment you could give me is to share this show with somebody that you think the message may resonate with, or to head to iTunes and give us a 5-star review. Additionally, if you want to interact with me, you can follow me at @RickAlexander_ on Instagram. Without further ado, on to the show. Happy Friday. Today we finish our Life As series, Life as Both Heaven and Hell. The quote for today's episode is actually the very first paragraph in my new book, Ambitious Heroes and Heartache. So I will read that and then we will jump into the content. From the moment we're abruptly removed from the comfort of the womb and inserted into time and space, we find ourselves amidst the many intersections and paradoxes that define the human experience. Eventually, we will find ourselves standing at the crossroads between heaven and hell, and we'll have to learn to engage with the animating forces in our lives that create both. As we age, we'll also find that there's a battle of opposing forces that is taking place within us. We'll have to choose between following our daring heart or our cautious mind. At different times, each will present their own drawbacks and good fortunes. As a short disclaimer, this episode will not get into the metaphysical dimensions or presuppositions about what may or may not exist outside of the world that we live in, the world of time and space. Rather, I'm going to keep asking and answering the question, what are we doing and how is that contributing to the quality of our lives, specifically when we seem to be existing in the high and low extremes? In other words, I'm talking about how we create these things in our world. When I talk about heaven, I'm referring to those moments in life when the entire world seems to open up to you. Maybe you find intense meaning or intense belonging and love, or maybe those two are actually the same thing. In any case, heaven, as I want to discuss it here, is when your life gives you the feedback that in all of the cosmos, you are in the exact right place, at the exact right time, with the exact right people or person, including yourself. You experience the abundant fullness that your life has to offer. Hell, as I want to discuss it here, is the opposite polarity to that fullness. It is lack in every way. It's found in those moments when you feel lost as to who you are or where you should be, and so you're constantly looking outside of yourself to fill the feeling that something is surely missing. Hell is desire without satiation. It's the life you want, sitting outside of your ability to grasp it. We should also ground this conversation in the fact that try as we might to avoid it, our lives are going to contain seasons of both. A life devoid of its polarities would teach you nothing. And when these polarities are treated as curriculum, like we talked about yesterday, meant to teach you about their opposite, you find that your life takes on the sense that it's always getting better, or that it's at least going somewhere worth being. And as we learn to navigate these polarities with grace, productive reflection, and poise, we find that our life is less likely to drag us into them. When in hell, you open to the fact that this is not an eternal sentence, that the best is yet to come and still waiting on your discovery. And when in heaven, you lean into the feelings, sights, and sounds, and you allow it to calibrate your north arrow, so to speak. It gives you an aim. Like the North Star gave the Magi a navigational beacon in order to find the birth of freedom in a world of oppression. Right? So you set your sights on this when you actually have it. It'll help you get back there. We should note, too, that both of these states are ascending or descending depending on the momentum that you carry into them. The heaven you've tasted is nothing compared to the heaven that is yet to come. As you align your character, thoughts, and actions and self in a way that allows you to actually access those higher realms of being, you find that the universe is infinitely abundant and perfectly content to bring you far more than you could even desire. It's always pouring itself out to you. In the same way, hell too is a bottomless pit. It may begin with the sense that you're lost or stuck without purpose. But as you reach for something to grab onto and find only chaos, you may also find yourself slipping into apathy in order to protect yourself. Humans, though, are feeling creatures, and as such, we're not here to live apathetic lives. Anesthesia, when chosen and used as a coping mechanism, will wreak havoc on your soul, and the world will grow more and more unbearable because it is simply too harsh to have an enemy within your own person. And this brings me to the first, and in my estimation, most prevalent way that the modern person stumbles into hell, and that is by denying the desires of their own heart. You simply cannot do or be whatever you want in this life. It might sound good on a meme or a postcard that tells you that you can, but the reality is far more grim. You might find that doing whatever you want comes at the cost of your own contentment, and after enough time, your well-being. And this is because you have an internal constitution, which directs you toward a meaningful life. You can follow it, and it will bring you everything that you do not yet know that you want. You can ignore it, and it will bring you ever deeper into apathy, as we've said. Though an encouraging parent may be inclined to tell us that we can be whatever we want, it might be more helpful to say that we can be anything we want, and that the moment we find that our heart's no longer in it, we can be anything else that we want. And you'll notice, too, that I said the modern person stumbles into hell. This is because we don't begin by ignoring the needs of our own heart. Rather, we take on deals that are quote-unquote too good to pass up. And we start comparing our internal state to other people's external lives. And we begin to aim at what others have, which often takes us further from our own internal knowing. And so finally, we seek belonging and mistakenly feel as though we've got to subjugate parts of ourselves in order to get it. But belonging gained in this way usually belongs to the mask that we're wearing for the world and not to ourselves. And every day that goes by, it's likely that we'll resent that mask more and more. If hell is found by marching toward a life that is not our own, then heaven is found in the reclamation of the life that was always ours to begin with. You might say it's your birthright. And this means learning to put down habits that keep us from our fullness or extinguish our own light. This means letting ourselves love what we actually do. This is the process of falling in love with our lives. And we say in love because it's a state that we enter into. It is the opposite of loneliness. Here we find symbolism in the world's ancient texts, as they often use the word God and love as synonymous with each other. We can infer then that if heaven is the place that God is thought to be, then love is the road that we must take in order to get there. This is the road that is waiting for us once we learn to shed the layers of people-pleasing, lack, and comparative living. The road of love is not traveled by accepting less than you deserve, but by becoming crystal clear on exactly what you deserve. And then, and here comes the tough part, actually expecting and accepting what you deserve for yourself. Because heaven, as I've said, is characterized by abundance. What this means is that you cannot get there by traveling the roads labeled not enough or I need more or any other disposition associated with lack. We must ground ourselves in gratitude so that we can build off the blessings we've already received. For this reason, among probably others, Meister Eckhart said that if the only prayer you ever say is thank you, it will be enough. Because here's the kicker that we tend to have a tough time getting our minds around. We are sufficient to answer the eternal invitation of the universe. It's always inviting us to engage with it, to learn more about what we do not know and to embark on the adventure that is uniquely ours. And so as you learn to embark on that adventure and answer that call, you'll see that the invitation presented by the unknown was always coaxing you along, asking you to grow into a more expansive version of who you've been, to shed old layers and transform, not to ride off into the sunset for a static utopia, but to embrace the sunrise and all of the uncertainty that the day to come still holds. We're being invited to cultivate the gifts we've been given and then to serve others with those same gifts. Every dead end invites us to think in new and different ways, leveraging abstract thought and leaving the low entropic state of the routine and the mundane. It's asking us to take what we've been handed, even if it's bullshit, and make something beautiful out of it, for both ourselves and the world that is yet to come. This is how we participate in the unfolding of creation and the emergence of the highest good. The trips through hell remind us of our own humanity, and that we are not ultimately free from limitation and heartache. In this, it reminds us to stay humble and to be grateful when we're not there. As rock bottom does us the favor of stripping away the inconsequential layers we've added to ourselves throughout our lives, hell, if endured correctly, purifies the parts of ourselves that won't serve us on our journey upward. And finally, it is heaven that reminds us that everything is redeemable, that even the pain points have their purpose, and that even this roadblock is but a stepping stone toward the good that is still yet to be revealed. Heaven reminds us that love is not a fruitless labor. That's been my experience anyway. I love you guys. Hope you have an amazing weekend. We'll talk Monday on Morning Coffee.